Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 43 degrees on Friends Plaza at 8:50, time for our pre-opening commodity market report this morning. Sitting in for Dave Dickey today is Jay Pierce. Hi, Jay.
Well, hi, Dan. Thank you very much, and good morning. And hearing myself talk about the Power Hour and you talk about it, Dan, reminds me that agricultural programming is a very important thing for you to support during our pledge drive that begins next Thursday. So keep in mind how important the information we bring you every morning and afternoon is, and then, you know, get ready to make a pledge of support to it. The Midwest direct hog markets are called steady to higher on improved buying interest for Friday and Saturday deliveries. The terminal markets are called mostly steady, with tops expected from 28 to 36.50. Peoria is called steady to firm, with a top of 28. And in the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, negotiated swine purchases were 15,401. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was 42 to 51.35. The weighted average was 48.13. That was a gain of 6 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 31.50 to 40.05. The weighted average was 38.26. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 19,478. Base price range 41 to 55.50. Weighted average 52.60. A gain of 2.60 from Wednesday. And on a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 32.95 to 41.74. The weighted average was 39.34. We'll take a look at the overnight numbers and see what Ellen Dearden out at AgriView and Morton thinks about them, and get her prediction for the opening call today in just a couple of moments. But first, AM580's Mike Sola joins us for a look at agricultural weather. Mike?
Good morning, Jay. And first off, going to talk about just the continued situation across the mid-Mississippi Valley, out down through the Ohio River Valley, and even in through some of the locations further south, and that is flooding. In the south, a few showers and thunderstorms skirting the northern fringe of the region, including the northern portion of the Arkansas and Kentucky areas that have been aggravated with residual flooding. Arkansas, along the White River, experiencing their worst flooding since early in the 1945 or the January-February time frame in 1949, and more showers and more thunderstorms have moved through that area, and with a stationary front not going very far either way, that's the nature of stationary fronts, more showers and thunderstorms will be firing up along that area. Now, for the White River region, the good news is most of the heaviest of the rain will be off to the east, but that is continued bad news for areas from the Boot Heel of Missouri, across Kentucky and in through southern Illinois, southern Indiana, all the way in through northern Kentucky and southwestern portions of Ohio. So the wet weather that continues there, and it, again, projections are even out for the next 2 weeks, above average precipitation, although for the time frame for the first full week in April, the focus of the heaviest of the rain, the more above the averages, will start to shift up towards the eastern Great Lakes. But that entire region is definitely looking at a late start to the preseason, the pre-planting field work. And right now it looks like there's going to be a delay as far as getting the seed into the ground. So that condition will continue to be hampered by the wet weather. I guess the only good news is that indications are they will start to see a warm-up to back above average temperatures as we start to get into the first full week in April. Across the plains, cold air starting to spread further south, and snow showers are still pushing across northern areas. Elsewhere, warm weather in the plains promoting the winter wheat growth on the southern plains, except in areas with inadequate soil moisture, which would support the proper development. Western states, scattered rain, snow showers continue across northern areas. Cool weather continues to limit the winter wheat development. Warm, dry weather, on the other hand, is promoting field work and crop development across much of California and the southwest. And again, and for the Corn Belt advisories for snow in effect for eastern South Dakota through Iowa-Minnesota border. They have been backed off a little bit as far as snowfall expectations for southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois, but still we're in big need of warmer and drier weather across a good portion of the Corn Belt so we can start to get into the fields. As far as the drought monitor, there's still a concern about the excessively dry conditions across areas in the southeast, and that generally focused from northeastern portions of Alabama and southeastern Tennessee across far northern Georgia, the northern western tip of South Carolina, and in through central North Carolina. As far as precipitation expectations for the next week or so, they will see maybe a few scattered showers in the northern fringe of that area, but they will not receive any drought-busting rain across the southeastern states. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Let's take a look at the overnight numbers from Kansas City. First of all, May wheat opened at 10.68.5. That was down a half on the open, up 14.5 on the last trade. July opened at 10.72.5, unchanged, and up 9.5 on the last trade. The spring wheat for May opened at 13.05.25, up a quarter on the open and last trade. July at 11.61, up 6 on the open, up 2 on the last trade. In Chicago, May wheat opened at 10.39, up 6 and up 17 on the last trade. July was at 10.36, and that was 3.5 higher on the open, 17 higher on the last trade. September opened at 10.50, up 7, up 9.5 on the last trade. December at 10.55.25 was up 1.25 on the open, 13.25 on the last trade. March at 10.68.5, opened 7.5 higher, and the last trade was 7.5 higher as well. May corn opened at 5.50.25, down 2. It was up 2.25 on the last trade. July at 5.62, down 3 and up 1.25. September at 5.67.5, down a half on the open, up 1.25 on the last trade. December at 5.67.75 was down 3/4 on the open, up 1.75 on the last trade. March at 5.74.25, down 2.5 on the open, up 1 on the last trade. And the May 09 contract at 580, down a half on the open, and up 2.75 in that last trade. The May soybeans, 13.45.5, down 6.5 on the open, and the last trade was down 7. July at 13.61, opened 4.5 higher, was down, make that 4.5 lower, and was down 10 on the last trade. August 13.50, down 6 on the open, down 3.25 on that last trade. And September at 13.07, down 3 and down 3. November at 12.39.5, down 5 on the open, 5.5 on the last trade. January 09 at 12.52.5, down 7.5 on the open, down 10 on the last trade. The May soybean meal opened at 3.55, down 50, down 1.90 on the last trade. July at 3.57.50, and that was down 1.50 on the last on the open and down 10 on the last trade. The May soybean oil, 57.75, unchanged on the open, down 1 on the last trade. In July at 58.49, down 4 on the open, and last traded 23 lower. And now Ellen Dearden joins us from AgriView in Morton to take a look at those numbers. What did you see in them? Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Jay. The numbers that I was watching was that during the session overnight in the corn, we saw rising prices, and that's usually a positive sign for the opening. During the next day's session, we threw in there the export bookings report that came out at 7:30 this morning showed between old and new crop around 29 million bushel, pretty neutral. And that was lower also than each of the last 2 weeks. So I'd call the corn market steady to maybe 2.5 higher.
Mm-hmm. Wheat opened up, but closed even higher.
Yeah, it did. Again, I like the fact that we saw a good, strong close there. Smaller, we've seen this market move between, for the May-July spread, between a large inverse to a small carrying charge this week. So it's a little caution sign that this rally may not go too far. But I think wheat will be up 8 to 12 cents based on good exports and more news of flooding, particularly in the soft red winter wheat areas.
Mm-hmm. How about those soybeans? They were kind of firm, but down.
They were firm, but down. We're going to kind of struggle here today, I think, on the beans, be down a penny, maybe as much as a nickel. Export bookings were on the high side of things, coming in at 13.6 on the old crop. A lot of that's due to talk that this Argentine strike will linger. I saw this morning that Bunge had declared a force majeure, which kind of lets them off the hook, and they'll originate beans from the Gulf, I think. Census Bureau crush came in today at 146.4 million bushel, which is down substantially from January, but still in the area where the trade was looking for. Low bean oil stocks on that report, however, should put bean oil back in the leader's chair.
Ellen, thank you very much. That's Ellen Dearden from AgriView in Morton joining us on our pre-opening commodity market report this morning here on AM 580. Occasional showers, maybe some isolated thunderstorms in our forecast today. We'll keep an eye out for those as we go on at 10 minutes until the next hour, 10 minutes till 10 Central Time. We'll have our opening commodity market report here on WYLL Urbana, a listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's a minute past 9 o'clock.